Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God." Amen to that. If you've been listening to Mark and Friends this week on Monday, that was the Memorization Monday verse, Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 8, "It is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God." What a great gift. Him giving his son Jesus for you and for me. Hey, so good to see you. Welcome to Thursday. Are you ready? It's October. October 1st, 2020. You are listening to Mark and Friends. I am Joey Kroll. It is, wow, it's already October. Like, October. I mean, here we are. It's October 1st, 2020. And in fact, actually, today is a special day in the Kroll household. Our son, Timothy, is graduating basic training today. Down at Lackland there in San Antonio. And unfortunately, we can't be there because of COVID-19, but we're going to watch it live online right after I get off the air here today. So my wife, she's all excited. She took the day off to really just watch that graduation. And we're just so proud of our son. It's been kind of an awkward year, really, because he graduated high school. We couldn't go for that because everything was kind of shut down, and he's graduating basic training. We couldn't go to that because, well, everything's kind of somewhat shut down and extra cautious. And so it's been a unique year for sure, but we are so proud of our son, Timothy. So we're going to watch that graduation a little bit later on this morning. And thank you again for those who have been praying for us and our boy as well. We greatly appreciate it. Well, if you're looking for something to do this weekend, coming up tomorrow night at my home church, I want to invite you. The Lesters will be in concert at Galilee Baptist Church in Decatur tomorrow night at 6:30. Free concert, love offering taken for the group. It's going to be a wonderful evening of just worship and singing to Jesus, about Jesus. It's wonderful. And so the legendary Lesters will be in concert again tomorrow night, Galilee Baptist Church in Decatur at 6:30. Well, I'll tell you what, 2020 has been an interesting year. And all God's people said, amen to that. That's for sure. And you know what? I'm sure many of us have been reminded about the importance of just trusting God. Trusting God, because if we put our trust in the world, we were just reminded that that's just sinking sand. That's for sure. And so today from Mark and Friends, we're going to be taking a look at a passage of scripture in the book of Genesis, reminding us to trust God no matter what, even when it doesn't even make sense. There are times where, like, God, this makes no earthly sense. This makes no sense to me at all. But I'm still going to trust you. And so we're going to talk about that today from the book of Genesis, trusting God no matter what, right after this on Mark and Friends.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth that I sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas roar at the sound of your name. And I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever
Thanks for listening to Mark and Friends, a ministry of the Great News Media Group. And have you ever heard of the African impala? It is it's an animal that can jump as high as 10 feet high and cover a distance of greater than 30 feet, all in one leap. It's amazing. Yet these magnificent creatures can be kept in an enclosure in any zoo with a 3-foot wall. Isn't that interesting? See, the reason being because these animals will not jump if they cannot see where their feet will fall. They don't trust what's on the other side until they see it. See, Fred, I think we have a lot in common with the African impala. Sometimes the barrier between us and fully trusting God is more than just a 3-foot wall. Sometimes it's a fog. The fog of I don't understand. I'm confused. It doesn't make sense. How can this be? And friend, this morning we're going to be talking about trusting God when it doesn't make sense. So if you have your Bibles, head on over to Genesis chapter 12 today. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, Genesis chapter 12, trusting God when it doesn't make sense. Verse 1 of Genesis 12, it says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you." And so he goes to the land. The Lord appeared to him, and it was in the land of Canaan, and Abraham built an altar there. The Lord appeared to him. God gave him a great promise. "I will give you this land to your offspring," and so forth. And so we come to verse 10 of Genesis chapter 12. It says, "Now there was a famine in the land. So Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. When he was about to enter Egypt, he said to Sarai, his wife, 'I know you are a beautiful woman in appearance. And when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, and they will let you live. So say you are my sister, that it may go well with me because of you, and that my life may be spared for your sake.'" So friend, here are four truths today on trusting God when it doesn't make sense. Here's truth number one. You stay until God says go. In verse 10 of Genesis 12, it says, "Now there was a famine in the land, so Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land." Now, we start off this chapter with God saying to Abraham, "Hey, go
I want you to go. So he went. God led him to a place in Canaan where the Canaanites dwelt. And Abraham built an altar there. God spoke to him, gave him a promise. And so all of a sudden in verse 10, there was a famine that took place. Now, a famine, if you're not too familiar, is where there's little or no food. And so here's Abraham in the place where God called him to be. And now there was a famine. So what did Abraham do? Friend, the Bible says he went to Egypt. Now, what's wrong with going to Egypt, Joey? What's wrong with that? Friend, nowhere do we see God telling him to go. Nowhere do we see God saying, Abraham, get up and I want you to go to Egypt. Nowhere. Now, Abraham was not wrong for being concerned about feeding his family. Seriously. Abraham, however, was wrong in thinking that God would not provide his needs in the place where God called him to live in the first place. After all, God called Abram to Canaan, not Egypt. See, friend, when God calls us to a certain place, a certain position, or a season in life, we need to remember he will supply what is needed to fulfill his calling. You know, friend, there's this cliche. I'm not a big fan of cliches, but however, it's so true. Where God guides, he provides. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, he who calls you is faithful. When things got rough for Abraham, he bailed. He fled. Friend, it's easy for you and I to throw in that towel, throw in the towel at our job, throw in the towel in our ministry or in the sale of a home or on a relationship, throw in the towel on certain people. But friend, you do nothing until God says so. You go nowhere until God says go. And friend, sometimes we need the faith to go. You know, there are people who quit their jobs, leave their homes, all to serve God in another country, and they're doing all of that by faith, you know? And so how many of us know that we need the faith to go, but there are times where we need the faith to stay right where we are? What if in spite of everything inside of you telling you to go, God is telling you to stay. Stay loyal in that rough patch at work where nobody else wants to stay because of changes. Stay and fight for your marriage when you feel like you're the only one who cares. Stay and serve in that small town that you and your friends always dreamt of leaving one day. Friend, sometimes we need the faith to stay right where we are. Friend, you stay until God says go. That's truth number one. Truth number two, you trust God and not your circumstances. Friend, there was a famine in the land. There was no food. I mean, I get that. That's a big circumstance to find yourself in. But here's the thing. Abraham left not out of faith, but he left out of fear. Friend, he wasn't led by the Lord himself, but he was operating in fear. And many of us understand the temptation to operate in fear. Tell our faith person to get out of our driver's seat and the fear person to step in and just hit the gas and go. But here's what the Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Think about this. I get this. He has a family. He's got his wife. He's got Lot following along with him as a husband, father. I understand the responsibility. I understand the weight. I understand the pressure. Again, Abraham was not wrong for being concerned about the famine and feeding his family, but Abraham was wrong in thinking that God would not provide for his needs. And he allowed the circumstances around him to supersede his trust in God. Friend, don't let the circumstance you're in cause you to doubt God or sway your trust in him. You trust God and not your circumstances. So out of our four truths today on trusting God when it doesn't make sense, truth number one, you stay until God says go. Truth number two, you trust God and not your circumstances. And truth number three, you trust God, watch this, and not your own understanding. Maybe Abraham thought, well, maybe God really wanted me to go towards Egypt instead of the land of Canaan here. Maybe he thought, well, this certainly isn't God's will for me to be in this difficulty, right? I mean, it's easy to allow our own understanding, our own, should I say wisdom, our own understanding, our own wisdom to lead us. Here's what God's word says in Proverbs 3:5. It says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Friend, let me break this down to you. You are not God. You are not God. The Bible, friend, calls us sheep, and sheep aren't really, they're not really the smartest animal. We don't have all the answers. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, that's you and me, that's our name all over that. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. So Abraham goes down in his own understanding, goes down to Egypt, and knowing that there's some dangers ahead that might take place, knowing that Sarai, who his wife is smoking hot, knowing that they will eliminate him so they can have his wife. Here's what he says in verse 12 of Genesis 12. And when the Egyptians see you, he's talking to Sarai, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but they will let you live. Say you are my sister, that it may go well with me because of you, and that my life may be spared for your sake. Now, friend, let me tell you something. Come up close for a moment. If you are truly following God's will, if you are truly following God's plan, if you're truly following God's direction, friend, you don't need to scheme to make it work. You don't need to lie. You don't need to come up with some devilish plan. See, once you step out of God's will, do your own thing. You step out on your own, and you find yourself in a place where you have to cover yourself. This is Abraham trusting in his own wisdom, in his own understanding. And so, friend, our four truths today: trusting God when it doesn't make sense. You stay until God says go. You trust God and not your circumstance. Truth number three is you trust God and not your own understanding. And our final truth today in trusting God when it doesn't make sense: you trust God even when he seems silent. I don't know about you, friend, but there are times in life when it seems like God is idle, right? When things are quiet, when things aren't progressing, there are just times where it seems like God is just silent. I think of the single Christian who is waiting on God for a godly mate. I think of a person who's waiting on God for employment, waiting for a promotion, waiting for God to heal them. But friend, here's the great truth about God. His timing is always perfect. God's timing is always perfect. You know, between the last book of the Old Testament and the New Testament book, Malachi and Matthew, there's, in a lot of our Bibles, there's a blank page. And that blank page represents 400 years of silence. There's a 400 year of silence. Nothing. I mean, no prophets were speaking for God. God did not speak to his people in the same way he did in the Old Testament. There was about 400 years of silence. Nothing. And friend, maybe you're listening today and you're in that 400 years of silence season. You continue to trust him, even when he seems quiet. Because in reality, while God was silent, quote unquote, toward his people for about 400 years, he was still on the move. In fact, between the time of Malachi and the coming of the Messiah, several prophecies were fulfilled, friend. While he was silent, he was still moving. While he was silent, he was still working. While he was silent, he was still being God. Friend, don't mistake God's silence as God's absence. In closing here today, somebody wrote, it's an anonymous, unknown author, a poem about trusting God. Trust him when dark doubts assail thee. Trust him while thy strength is small. Trust him when to simply trust him seems the hardest thing of all. Trust him, he is ever faithful. Trust him for his will is best. Trust him for the heart of Jesus is the only place of rest.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can be afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need.